Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Voices Carried for Animals, number 385 shows and counting. Live advocacies for the animal every Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, 4 o'clock Pacific. Everyone, you could listen in worldwide. Anybody in the queue or anybody who wants to speak, I'm going to be taking calls later in the show, and that number is 310-982-4270, and that's the same number every Thursday. And if you want to speak to the guests, press 1, and I will let you in. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette online, www.ppjg.me, and that's Marty Oakley's website. So you just go there and press listen live here, and you can, they'll direct you right to Blog Talk Radio and press and just listen from there. Or also you can listen from the phone, the same number, 310-982-4270, and press 1. And you can also call in from Skype. All these shows are recorded live every Thursday and archived on Blog Talk Radio. So you could reach it by blogtalkradio.com and search Voices Carry for Animals or www.blogtalkradio.com/Voices Carry for Animals. And you can listen 24/7, 365 days a year. They're on-demand episodes. So you can, you know, keep spreading the word out there, because the more of us that come together and band together and help these animals out, the faster the changes. We are power in numbers, everyone. So the voice, the animals can't defend themselves, so we have to do it for them. They don't stand a fighting chance. So we have to get in there and help make their lives and futures better. My name is Debbie Dahmer, a.k.a. Mama Bear. And Mama Bear is on the air because she does really care. So I love that nickname. And I want to, all you new listeners, welcome aboard. And all you returning listeners, thank you for coming back. And all the support out there for help, you know, sharing these promos from Facebook friends that are involved to the followers to Pinterest, to LinkedIn, Twitter, Big Animal pages on Twitter also that are sharing. A big, huge thank you to you all, because together we can make a positive difference. We got to at least try. So once we let this go viral, you know, hey, we're going to see the changes made, because the animals, just like children and the elderly, they're defenseless and helpless and voiceless and innocent. They cannot, you know, pick up the phone and call the police or make police reports or call on this radio platform. It's up to us to take the action, and that is the key to get positive changes made, to get them out of harm's way. Because if we look the other way, hey, changes don't happen on its own. We have to push harder. But I wanted to give a big shout out to Gary Bowden of All About Animals Radio, and he's a radio producer. We work as a great team out there. He's got a lot of great shows, podcasts going, and that's All About Animals Radio. And it's on Facebook and Twitter if you'd like to check out the times and everything. He has my on-demand episodes on his website. So that's All About Animals Radio and Facebook and Twitter. Thank you, Gary Bowden, for all you're doing. I know you're on a roll and you've been busy, but hey, it takes teamwork. And the several hosts that's been on this show, and always welcome back, are over there hosting on his shows. And I think that's wonderful, because host to host, coast to coast, together we speak out on air for all the animals in need and distress. So teamwork is major, everyone. And a big shout-out to Animal Wellness Action, everyone. If you wanted to check out their podcast, animalwellnessaction.org, and just click the link podcast, and it'll show the shows that they have or they're going to coming up. And they're also on Facebook and Twitter. And also they have, if you see links on their website, they have petitions to sign and share. So I've had several guests from there on, and, hey, I'm about teamwork all the way, you know, hey, crossover audiences and just expand the action takers, okay? So that's what we need. But I'm going to bring my guest on. It's his first time coming on here, and I want to welcome him. And it won't be his last, because I always welcome my guests back to see their progress and any changes. And they're always come in as part of the family for Voices Care for Animals. And if you'd like to visit Voices Care for Animals on Facebook support group, it's on there too, and helping out animals on death row. And it shows featured shows that have, you know, come on there, and petitions and a little bit. And thanks to all the admins that helped me out on there. But I want to bring him on. He's out there working hard and doing his thing, and a great impact to the humans and the animals. And his name is Chief Ken Ross Jr. of SPCA Putnam County, New York. So welcome aboard, Chief Ken Russ. How are you this evening? So glad and honored to have you.
Well, I'm honored to be here, Debbie, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and all your followers, and to give a little bit of an idea of what we do and, you know, how we help the cause.
Oh, this is great. I do. I feel so honored to have you on. It's just so inspiring and uplifting to hear what you're doing. Your positive impact out there with the animals and everything. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started. Go right ahead.
Well, basically, in the 1800s, it's a little bit older than I am, but just to give a little history up here in New York, the ASPCA started with the animal cruelty statutes. And the individual's name was Henry Berg, and he had gone over to Europe and, excuse me, I'm fighting a little bit of sinusitis here, so you're going to have to put up with me a little bit. But when he came back to America, he had seen in Europe the Royal SPCA. So he started the American SPCA, Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And he was responsible for writing the cruelty laws here in New York. And over time, He went out and he enforced the laws, and in an effort to go statewide, he enabled it through the legislature here in New York that each county can have a charity and be an SPCA. And we have police power. And back in 2005, I started in Westchester County up here in New York, which is just north of New York City. It's bordered with the Bronx. I started there. We had jurisdiction in the adjoining county, which was Putnam. And over time, the sheriff up in Putnam asked if we would start an SPCA up here, which we did in 2011. So I've been doing this probably about 18 years, which means I'm roughly about 25. And if you believe that, I have a bridge in Brooklyn for sale. But but yeah, so we've been doing this. I work with my son. Excuse me again. And pretty much basically what we do is we enforce all the laws in New York State. We specifically handle all the animal cruelty calls. We've been lucky enough when we were in Westchester and now up here in Putnam that all the police agencies work with us. Anything that has to do with animals, they turn over to us. The fact that we have police power, we can handle the calls. We can investigate the calls. We try to work with people first. We don't go in heavy-handed because a lot of times education is a large part of it. It also comes down to monetary issues where people have pets, but they've gotten themselves boxed into a corner and they can't afford the food. So through the SPCA here in Putnam, what we do is we'll add them to our list and we'll deliver food to them to make sure they have enough for the animals. Because animal cruelty and human crimes run so close together, we're usually involved in crimes against children, crimes against the elderly. They all, you know, fall under the same category. They don't have a voice. And so basically I've been doing this, again, you know, for 18 years. It's rewarding, but a lot of times you look at it and it goes back to the movie Jaws where the sheriff looks over the side, sees the shark, and says, we need a bigger boat. So basically that's my story up here in New York.
Yeah, that's something. I mean, all that you do and, you know, it's just like we were talking about, the elderly, the animals, the children, they don't have a voice. And if we don't do something to make their lives better, get them out of harm's way, the problem's just going to get worse. And we don't want to see that. That's our fight. You know, they all deserve better. All animals. Chief Ross, I have done these shows almost 9 years, podcasts in June, and just listen. I've learned a lot. You never stop learning. A lot of stuff I didn't know what was going on behind closed doors. And all these animals deserve better lives and futures because they're so innocent. And I mean, just like our pets at home, we all, you know, I know pets here are spoiled rotten, which is the way it should be, two cats and a dog. But all of them deserve the best treatment out there. I mean, it's not difficult to take care of them, you know, feed them, give them water, take them to vets when they need to, let them, you know, spend time with them, show them love and care. And it's not that hard. So I can't understand how anybody, you know, they have temper tantrums and take it out on the animals or the children or the elderly. There's zero excuses for it. I mean, none, zero. They had nothing to do with why they had a temper tantrum. You know, so whatever we could do, everyone, if you see or, you know, any kind of animal abuse or, you know, child abuse, elder abuse, please report it. You know, be there and do something. Because if you ignore it, then you got more problems coming aboard, and you can help save lives. The next time, if you don't report it, they could lose their life, and that's the sad part. Right, Chief Ross? I mean, it's sad what's going on out there. And the Putnam County SBA, you got a lot of stories you could tell, you know, arrest and what you've seen front lines. And I know it's got to be gut-wrenching. And I wanted to bring this up. I seen this video going around, and it was a video in California where these two guys were shooting up heroin, and there was a dog sitting there, okay? And it was getting passed around, and I wrote a comment like, somebody please call the police and report this, because these two idiots don't have a clue, and you could possibly save this animal's lives, you know? So, I mean, it was gut-wrenching to see this. It's like, who's taking the video? Call the police immediately. Because this animal right now is in harm's way because one of them was passed out, leaning over. And then I even posted it on my timeline and Voices Care for Animal Support Group all over the place. And I said, what kind of world do we live in? You know, that's neglect right there, cruelty, when you're not paying attention to that animal and you're so far out there that it's – that dog's in harm's way all the way, you know? Isn't that sad? I mean, it's sickening.
It really is. And one of the, you know, what we see, is very, it's disheartening because at times it's difficult to believe what humans, are capable of. And, you know, it ranges the gamut from, you know, simple neglect, but it goes all the way up to where we had an individual who, during COVID, was in rehab, and he meets a girl, and they ended up moving in together. And over a period of a year, he killed three of her chihuahuas and a ferret.
Oh.
And
whoa.
The ability, of this individual to do this, it just spoke volumes on the lack of humanity, I guess, that this person had. The investigation, it took probably a year because as this was going on, COVID was locked down. The female, she was also, it was an abusive relationship where she couldn't really get out and do anything. It came to us probably about 9 months after everything happened. So, you know, it was difficult because we didn't have a crime scene. Here in New York State, the animal cruelty statutes, they're not that bad, but they need a lot of tweaking. And, you know, we had to backtrack, and we had to work with the district attorney's office. We had it took a long time to develop the case, and then finally, probably about 4 months ago, we were notified after we made the arrest that he was convicted, and he's doing 6 years in state prison. So a lot of the things that we see, you know, are horrendous. And again, you know, part of the issue is, number one, getting people brave enough to make the phone call to us. One of the things that, you know, we have volunteers, and a lot of times volunteers will come and they say, I want to go beat the person up. I want to go grab him by his throat. And what we say is if they can do something bad to an animal, they have no qualms about hurting a human. And we have police power. We carry guns and bulletproof vests, and we deal with the worst of the worst. So we don't want people to go up and confront these people. Make the phone call to us. Make the phone call to your local police if there's no SPCA. Let us handle it because, number one, you know, we're trained and we have the protection because these people are not nice people. And, again, if they can do it to an animal, anything that they do to the animal, if they beat it or try to kill it or whatever, it's one more step that they get desensitized towards taking a life or hurting a life. And it doesn't matter whether it's an animal life at that point or a human life. So if they can do it to an animal, if they're mistreating an animal, it's guaranteed they're going to move on. It's a gateway crime. They're going to move on to hurting humans. And you need to make the phone call and get as much information as you can at a safe distance because, again, these aren't nice people. They're when they start hurting animals and things like that, this is the way all serial killers started. They all started with dismembering and killing animals. All the shooters, you know, that you see in these high schools and the grade schools, they all started the same way. They all started experimenting with animals. And it desensitizes the person towards taking a human life. So, you know, it's a heinous crime because it's against innocent, but it also is just a telltale that this person is going to move on and hurt humans also. So, like you said, you know, if you see it, you have to say something because it's just going to fester and get worse as it goes on.
That's right, because if they, you never know next time, oh, they're dead now, but you never did nothing the first time where they could have been caught and brought to justice, you know, and put in jail or whatever. Catch them while you can. Don't let them keep going on and not do nothing, because that's what we got to do, everyone, and get the word out there. Somebody tells you if you see something, do something about it. You know, be that animal's hero or that child's hero or the elderly's hero. Do something about it. And a lot of times you can remain anonymous if you think they're going to get vindictive and come back after you. You know, hey, do what you need to do because it does matter. Your voice matter and your actions matter. And we all have to take that action to see any changes. So whatever it takes, you know, help out, whatever you can do. You know, just like I was telling you about that, whoever's taking that video of that dog out in California with those two, you know, drug heads shooting up heroin, whoever's taking that video should have called the police immediately. It's not like the police is not going to come there and do nothing. They got drugs on them, illegal drugs. Plus, they got a dog that's not being looked after. You know, so whoever was that video, I was like, hey, they need to take action. You know, don't just take the video and show it all over social media and then say, is the dog okay? What kind of world do we live in? You know, that's like killing somebody, put it on video, put it on Facebook, and then say, okay, they committed murder, so let's not do anything about it. You know, hey, you got to take action. Because that's the key to all changes. Yes.
That's exactly the truth. And the other thing is that you could put the video out. You could put it on Facebook or whatever. But people looking at it have no idea where it's taking place. And whoever took the video knows. So to make a phone call and then have the video available for the police, you know, is a home run. Up here in New York, with us as SPCA officers, we do not – anything that comes in, any complaint that gets made of suspected animal abuse, animal cruelty, you can't FOIL it. There's no way to find out who made the phone call. And that's very important because a lot of – again, these are not nice people. The people that do this are the ones out there committing all the other crimes. So it's one thing to put it on social media, but a lot of times people will tell us, did you see what's on Facebook? There's an animal that's being abused. And we can look at it, but I have no idea where it's taking place. One of the funny things with us is that we're the Putnam County SPCA, But I didn't know this, but I'm sure you do, Debbie, is that there's a Putnam County in Florida, and there's probably three or four other Putnam counties in other states throughout the U.S. So we'll get calls from Florida, and we'll get calls from other areas, and we then will turn around and forward the information to the local sheriff or the local police so they can follow up on it. And, you know, it's one thing we want people to report to us, but we understand the importance of reporting forward if it's not us.
Right. That, you know, putting it forward, you know, just like with that video, you know, hey, taking a video call to the police, you got the proof right there, like you were saying, right there. Because when I seen it on Facebook, it doesn't say, you know, hey, where is the address? Because in all good time, they could have moved, even though they was wasted on whatever, shooting up. You know, it's just putting the dog in just, oh, it was sickening. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, what is this? You know, this innocent animal is just sitting there looking around, and you know, he could have got loose or got hit by a car. Anything could happen. Got harmed.
No, you.
And it just, whoa, disgusting.
You're definitely right. And again, animals, they can't dial 911. They can't reach out for help. And it's very easy to commit crimes against them. And, you know, what it comes down to is those of us that understand what animal cruelty is and what it can cause, the death of an animal, desensitizing the person so it's going to move on to human crimes. We have to all be aware of what it is. And then we also have to take the next step to make the phone call. One of the things that we did here, we became police instructors. We went through Division of Criminal Justice Services, became police instructors. We teach at the police academies. We go around to the volunteer fire departments. We go around to the schools. Excuse me. We go around to the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, any group that we can. And we make presentations as to what is animal cruelty, how does it manifest itself. Animal cruelty is neglect, and it's also abuse. So neglect is not giving the animal what it needs to survive, and abuse is hurting or killing the animal. And then we tell people what to look for, and we tell the police what to look for. The guys at the volunteer fire department, you go into a house and there's a smoke problem or something else. Look around. Can you see the dog's ribs? Can you see the horse's ribs? How does the kids look while you're in there? Because if the kids are being mistreated, you know that the animal's being mistreated. And we tell everybody, you know, how to report it, what to do, what to say. In the summertime up here, the temperature's nowhere near like in Florida, but it goes over 100. And when there's a vehicle parked in the parking lots out there, the interior temperatures can, you know, be 30, 40 degrees higher than the temperatures outside. So what we do is we patrol every parking lot throughout the county where there's stores. And, you know, we'll go into stores and we'll pull the people out to take their animals out of the cars when we find them. If they don't want to cooperate, then, you know, we'll write them a summons and we'll sit and watch the animal. And then if the animal does start to go into distress, then we make an arrest. And it's amazing that we'll find elderly in cars and we'll find infants in cars, and you have to go in and you have to pull people out. And I guess one of the main things that, you know, all the listeners probably know better than we do is that common sense does not exist anymore, just not common. So, you know, you wouldn't not feed your dog. That's common sense. You wouldn't leave a dog in a car when you leave the windows open, because when you go to sit in, you're going to burn your legs because it's so hot. But common sense is not common, and we continually see this as well.
Oh, yeah, because you're talking real hot in the summertime here, I mean, the humidity is up there. So once you open your door, you can feel that heat coming out. So to leave a child or a pet in there or an elderly person, it's so wrong and it's so cruel and torture. I mean, you hear them, you hurry up and get your breath, you say, why, it is hot. It's the sweat coming down. So I could just imagine what's going on. So everyone, if you're out there shopping and you see animals or children, elderly person in a hot car with the windows up, report it, please, because they can't report it themselves. So do what you need to do and help save a life, because it does happen. You hear about these either children or pets dying in cars, hot cars, and it's terrible. And it can be preventable, you know, from all angles. Yes.
And it's, even if the windows are down, it doesn't make a difference. Because if you think about it, and we try, you know, part of what we do is we try to educate people, because a lot of times they just don't get it. But we ask them, what is your car made out of? And it's, you know, steel, insulation, and glass. But if you think about it, what's an oven made out of? It's made out of the same exact materials. And you have the sun now hitting on top of the metal. It doesn't matter if the windows are up or down. You're still going to cook whatever inside the vehicle. And we have laser thermometers that will shoot in the window when we pull the people out of the stores, just to show them, even with the windows down, it's like 140 degrees inside the car. And it only takes 10 minutes for the animal to have irreparable brain damage, where, you know, it's over at that point. It's just over. And everybody says how much they love their animals, but, again, there is no common sense.
That's right, and that's all it takes is common sense. If you go to the roots of the problem and work your way up, hey, common sense wins every time. And when it's hot out, especially here in Florida, it is, it's a nightmare. I hate the summers here because they get so hot. But everyone, you see something, please report it. I say please, please report it. Don't look the other way, because you could be helping save a life or lives out there. You know, summer's going to be here before we know it, and it's terrible what's going on, and there will be some deaths happening because not using the common sense out there, and we're trying, and it's all preventable. Every angle of it is preventable, you know. So, but Chief Ross, can you give your website out and you're also on Facebook, so the listeners can, you know, hey, please visit everyone, see how you can help out or donate, or because this is free what they're doing. You know, everything takes money. Money makes the world go round, you know. So whatever you can help out, take action, donate or whatever, you know, keep spreading their website and Facebook pages, invite your friends, especially if you're in New York up there, because, hey, it's endless on how many people can join or, you know, do their part. It's endless. I mean, the numbers is up there. But go right ahead, and I'm going to be taking calls here in a minute, everyone. So 310-982-4270. Press 1, you're in the queue, and I'll bring you on board. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, and conversations. You're more than welcome to come on board. All shows are recorded live, so thank you all for tuning in. We got a packed house tonight there, Chief Ross. You know, this is awesome. And a big shout-out. Yes, and a big shout-out to all you Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, Pinterest is tuning in from there, get participating, because, hey, all of our voices make a difference. But go right ahead. Give me your website and your Facebook page.
Thank you, Debbie. It's, our website is SPCA Putnam, PUTNAM.org. On Facebook, it's Putnam County SPCA. And like Debbie said, what we do does cost a lot of money. We are a charity. We're not a government agency, and although our county does give us some funding, it's nowhere near enough for us to keep going. Basically, if you think about a police department, which is basically what we are, you put lights on top of a vehicle, you go through red lights, you can handcuff people in the back seat, and you can imagine what our liability insurance is just for our vehicles. It's through the roof. In New York State, we have police power, so we carry weapons, and our liability insurance for that is through the roof. In order to protect ourselves, again, like I said, the people that we deal with are not good people. Recently, we had to get tasers because we need a less lethal method of dealing with the people, because there's a lot of stuff going out there. I'm sure everybody's aware that police aren't loved anymore. And when we show up, even though we're there, you know, trying to help the animals and people, it just right away, everybody again turns and they say, oh, they're the police. Let's not work with them. And then we don't have a shelter. So what happens is a lot of times people look to donate to the shelters, but they forget about those of us out there that are in the trenches. And we have a saying on our website. It goes, the rescue happens before the shelter. The animals that are in the shelter are protected from harm. That's what the word shelter means. We're the guys that go into the fire and pull the animals out. And when I say fire, I mean the people that are cruel to them, the people that are beating them and hurting them and killing them. We're the guys on the front line. So when it comes to fundraising for us, that's our life's blood. And, you know, what we do isn't pretty. It's not holding a little cuddly kitten or petting a little puppy. We're bringing out all the broken animals. Excuse me. So any help that is out there, you know, we always appreciate, and it just helps us, you know, do our mission. And, Debbie, I appreciate allowing me to give our information out, so thank you.
Hey, you're so truly welcome. Hey, we need police officers. You know, we need our army. I mean, you're so – can you imagine a world without all of you? And I give all the police out there a standing ovation protecting us, and also USPCA, because, you know, there's good and bad people in every race, religion, and profession. And just because one cop's bad or this one's bad, you're all not like that. So everyone, we need to, when you see a police officer or coming across, they're helping us. And they're helping all of us. They're helping animals. They're helping from every angle. So we do need police officers. There's no questions asked. So not defund the police, defend the police, because they're so very important in our lives. They're bringing us safety and protecting us, you know. I mean, putting their lives on the line, staying in front lines with situations you and I would never want to do. So please, give them the respect and honor they need, not just ignore them and hate them, or you got a speeding ticket. Oh, I've heard that before. I hate cops. No, you were speeding, so why do you hate them? You was breaking the law, you know. So whatever you can do to help them and thank them. Every time I would, Chief Frost, I would, you know, come across a police officer, I'd look at him and say, hey, thank you for protecting us, because they deserve that. And they like that. It's uplifting, you know, to see a resident coming through or citizen saying that, because it means a lot to them, because their lives are on the line, everyone. And thank you for protecting us and the animals. You're a true inspiration. So everyone, you know, hey, you have family members, relatives, neighbors, let them know, because we could not live in a world without them. No way. I mean, it would be totally ridiculous. and so out of control. You know, so do your part and, you know, never hide from them or, you know, report it. That's what they're there for. But we got some calls coming in, Chief Ross. You want to go ahead and take them?
Sure.
For area code 631, you're live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals. Go right ahead. You got any questions or comments for Chief Ross?
Yes,
Jr.?
I do. It's Lauren Contino.
Hey, Lauren, how are you?
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in. That's a former guest there, Chief Ross. I love when the former guests get involved and cross over and work together. It's so inspiring. But go ahead, Lauren.
Chief Ross, first I want to ask you something. If you have a moment after the show, I would really like to speak to you about something. But in the meantime, this was last night. I was watching TV and Google pulled up, and I see this beautiful cougar laying on a Lamborghini. So I thought, oh my God, it might have been hurt. And then I read that it was a veterinarian. Okay. But as I read further, people were boasting him. Oh, it took me 2 weeks to catch that cougar. The guy killed the cougar and he's a veterinarian. Okay. So 10 phone calls I made to finally get a human being, because this place is in Idaho, right? So I tell them what magazine it was in or on Google, and she goes, we'll take care of it. So I went to sleep feeling okay, but I knew that the cougar was already dead. So they called me in the morning. You know what they said to me? Oh, there's no problem. Like, what? And she goes, cougars, bears, foxes, in that count over there, they're alive to hunt and kill them. My mouth fell. I couldn't even talk to her. I hung up the phone. I called her back. I said, well, since that legalized, do you legalize dog fighting as well? Oh, no, that's against the law. Oh, okay, so the law. Problem is this. You're making hatred to wildlife, which means if their children go grow up and come out by, I'm in New York, so I'm on Long Island, come out to live eastern, western, they have going to have absolutely no respect for an animal. And that's a big, gigantic problem. And this has nothing to do. I'm saying to myself, no way, because she would have said this got nothing to do. The animals do not attack any humans or any livestock. They just, and they were proud of it. This, what boggles my mind is this. A veterinarian takes an oath to save animals. So you close your veterinarian door and you go out in your car and you go hunting. That's, to me, I couldn't even, it really bothers me. It still bothers me right now because I just can't be on that magnificent animal. I can't
explain why. It's almost like a contradiction, you know, someone that's a veterinarian that would want to do that. It doesn't make any sense. But one of the things that that we've seen over the time that we've been doing this is that the only way to stop this is to go state by state and deal with the people that are either elected officials or groups that have some sort of lobbying power where the laws are being made. And whether it be federally to have a law passed that certain animals are protected. Here in New York, I'm a member of a group that's up in Albany that is a lobbying group. And I'm on the board, and it's the New York State Animal Protection Federation.
Okay.
And basically what it is all different, the rescues and other groups like the SPCAs and things like that, we can't as a charity lobby to change the laws, but individually, if we're a member of a group, we can. And here in New York, we try to have laws passed to protect these animals. So, you know, if what I would do is if you were interested and it's something that you wanted to pursue, you could contact that state to see if there's any groups there that lobby and give them a call just to let them know that you support them even though you're out of state. Or
right.
You could go to, you know, one of the congressmen here in New York and have him look into or her look into passing a federal law that protects these animals.
Yeah.
In New York, we're lucky in the sense that we have the environmental conservation laws, and we work very mm-hmm. closely with their police department because all these animals are protected. And the only time that it's allowed is if it's a hunting season. But on certain animals, there is no hunting season. There is no hunting season for, you know, fox or cougar, whatever. And the mm-hmm. laws are very much enforced. And they bring us in with them as well. So if it's against the environmental conservation law, NCON police will go in. But they'll ask us to piggyback with them. And if you're killing an animal and it's against the law because it's protected, well, then it falls under our jurisdiction as well. So it's a double whammy. But I would do that. And, you know, sometimes I feel, you know, helpless because, you know, like I said before, we get calls from Florida. We get calls from other states. And my jurisdiction is just, you know, Putnam County, and it's difficult. But if I can ever help to direct you where to go, or if I know something, or I can look into it for you, I'd be more than happy to.
Yeah, you know what I did do, though? I reported him to the veterinarian board in Idaho.
I sent them that article
because, you know something, fine. I'm la-di-da because I asked her one more thing. I said, okay, so they're allowed to have the cougar on top of the car and drive around. You know what she says to me? Well, you know, he didn't want to get his car bloody.
Yeah.
I couldn't even say anything. I just hung up the phone.
He
didn't
want
to get his car bloody.
Again, common sense isn't common. It's just amazing.
Yeah. You're right. And I will do that. I'm very happy I reported him to the board because you know what? Regardless, it's a red flag now
mm-hmm.
because
definitely.
I reported it. So I'm glad I did that. So that's the first thing I thought of. I said, you know what? You're not going to get away with it, not with me and I. If you want.
Yeah, you just stay on the line there, Lauren. Somebody's at the door.
Okay. Thanks, Keith.
Area code.
No, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, just stay on there. The area code 203. Yeah, because we've got like 12 minutes left. So go ahead. You're live and on the air. You got any questions
hey,
or
Debbie,
comments for the guests?
It's Barb.
Hi, Barb.
Debbie
how are
from
you?
Connecticut. Hi. Thank you, sir, for whatever you do. You are awesome. That's all I got to say. It made me cry. And you answered my question. So you only do Putnam County? Because I thought
yes.
maybe you went to other states and all that, you know, like what do you call those guys that go after the crooks? What do you call them? The, you
like
know,
the marshals?
Yes, the marshals.
Yeah, no. We had tried to, in the past, work with the U.S. Marshal Service,
mm-hmm.
where if they were out doing something in another area, we could
right.
lend our expertise, and that would give us, you know, a larger
mm-hmm.
area. But
right.
Now you're in Connecticut, and I know that Connecticut has, because we worked with them, the Department of Agriculture has investigators
right.
for animal cruelty. And, you know, we have a great relationship with them. We work with them. Putnam, we sort of border Danbury, and we work
mm-hmm.
very closely
well,
with their police.
Well, I'm originally from the Bronx. I'm born and raised in the Bronx in Westchester, so I'm familiar with all that. But I don't want to cut you off. I just have a really important question. I don't know if you could answer
sure.
it. The kill shelters, when
mm-hmm.
they're killing thousands every day, and it drives me up a wall. So not you. I know you can't answer this, but can't they look for other rescues before they kill German Shepherds, Rottweilers, Pit Bulls, Chihuahuas? I mean, they don't even look. They just kill them, and they're healthy. Can't like the governor make a pass a law? What's her name? Hochul? Do something. They're killing them like cockroaches. And
well,
every day
I'm on
Facebook, and I sign every petition that you could ever want. And it just doesn't work. And I put on it, please, try a shelter. Don't just go.
See, one of the problems, though, with Facebook is that a lot of times the information that you may be reading may be dated, or the person that's putting it up may not be aware of the laws that are there. Right now, New York has laws that say that before you can put an animal down, you
mm-hmm.
have to reach out to different shelters to see if
right,
they can take them.
Right, mm-hmm, I do
the
see
old,
that.
And the only, like, there's really no kill shelters other than Animal Care and Control, which is in New York City. And
mm-hmm.
It may be one or two other municipal-run shelters. And
right.
what happens is I know Animal Care and Control reaches out constantly to other shelters
oh,
to see if they can
I
take
hope
and help.
So. It just kills
but,
me. It does it.
But the one thing that would
even,
kill that used to kill us is when we would go in and we'd arrest people and dog fighting, and then
yes.
you'd seize the animals.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
there's just absolutely no place that you could put the animals
right.
that you
I know,
pull out.
I know. Right.
And at that point, you know, you have to. I mean. We risk our lives. You knock on the door like a regular cop.
Oh, I know that. I can see that.
And now you save the animal. And then what happens
mm-hmm.
is the animal you really can't salvage now because it
right.
will attack a human.
So,
no,
I understand
and then you,
that.
So stuff like that's the killer because, you know, it weighs heavy on your mind that I went in and pulled the animal out. Now all of a sudden
right.
the animal has to go down. But just so you feel a little bit better, there really aren't a lot of kill shelters anymore.
Yeah.
And in New York, like I say, the laws say that the kill shelter has to reach out before they can put
yeah.
an animal down to
well,
other
can
other,
we let can
groups.
We let Miami-Dade know that? They're killing them left and right up there in Florida. Oh, my God,
well,
Miami-Dade, forget it.
But you know what has to happen, though, is – you have to reach out to the groups in those areas that
yes. Yes.
And give them the information or send them a copy of the law and say, listen, this is what we do in my area. This may work for you. And a lot of times these people are so grateful that you shared
right.
something with them that was already written, already approved, because a lot
right.
of times when animal statutes are written in the law, they're not written in accordance with other laws.
Yes.
Years ago, there was this was in Florida. It was in Hialeah. They
right.
they were sacrificing animals under
oh my God.
With Santeria, and
yes.
what happened was they found that the statute discriminated against religion. You can't say your religion cannot sacrifice an animal.
Yes.
It was a big thing. It was called the Hialeah ruling. But what happened was all the other states then started looking at their laws, and New York passed the Hialeah standards. It doesn't matter, you know, there's no reason given why you can't kill an animal. So basically New York says you can't kill an animal, period. In Florida they had said you can't sacrifice an animal for your religion. So being able
okay.
to give and approve the law to another state makes it easier for them to get it passed. So that, you know, it's homework, and I know it's tough, but
I know it's hard. It is.
But being able to share it with another state, or it just helps them enormously, because you know if they haven't passed something about no kill shelters, that means they're probably. Pardon my analogy, but they're up
yes,
to their neck in alligators with other things. So
they
probably
yeah.
have so many other things going on that, you know, they need help. So if you could send
yeah,
them a
know,
law that's
do,
already
yeah.
in effect, yeah, I'm sure it would help them greatly and they'd appreciate it.
Well, I'll get on something like that because it kills me when I see these dogs. I try to share it. Please, God, share it. Maybe someone will rescue this poor little guy. Plus, the people who abuse animals are getting out too soon. They're not even getting a slap on the wrist. Not in Connecticut, I had a woman here who used like 6, 7, 8 pit bulls in her house. She didn't get no time. She didn't get nothing. Just pay her fine and bye-bye. I mean, come on, go to jail for 25 years.
But the problem is, if you look at what's going on, even the people that are killing people are getting out because...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, but you know who? I won't say nothing. Let me shut my mouth.
Yeah. No, no.
Yeah.
Listen,
I totally agree
with you, but it's just difficult.
No, it is, and I feel sorry for you guys, especially cops, man. I just feel sorry for the way they treat them. I mean, come on, really? You know, they can't touch them, they can't taste them, they can't look at them, they can't sit. Come on. They're killing people. You guys,
Kate,
see what's going on here?
Something while you guys are talking? I have to tell you something.
Go ahead.
All right. I am sure you probably run into the NYACC. They keep track of all the dogs they kill. In 1 month, they killed 100 pit bulls. Okay? So I kept track of it because my specialty, I specialize in pit bull fighting. Now, I adopted 2 pit bulls from the NYCACC. One was a little boy at 6 months old. They were going to kill him. There was nothing wrong with him. And then a girl, but this, you noticed, she was raised as a dog fighter because she was running after my other dog at the time. I mean, they're best friends now. But there is no dog that I know would try to pull a dog down by biting its leg like that. That's taught behavior. So it took me 2 months to reprogram her with Mac. And this is a major problem. It's the breeding. The breeding is against that. That's what has against law. That's why there's so many pit bulls everywhere, and they're getting killed left and right because of it. That's why I'm so angry about that, because you know what? I got to be honest with you. Behind closed doors, networkers that deal with NYC, like myself for a very long time, they do not follow the rules at all.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing you were saying about Florida. I forgot your name. I'm sorry.
My name is Barbara.
I guess you wanted as well. Like a no-end situation. It's terrible. It's the breeding. That's what has to be against the law.
Yeah, it is.
No pit bull breeding, period. Right?
That's right. There should be a law, a fine, if you don't fix your cat, dog, anything. Got to be fixed. Otherwise, you're going to jail. Yeah. I wish I was in the office, man. Everybody be in jail. I'm telling you. It's like, come on. I'm getting nuts. I'm getting nuts, Debbie. I'm getting nuts now.
And I'm standing there waving the flag and being really happy. Cheering you on.
No.
Hey, ladies,
we got two
minutes here. Lauren, thank you for calling in. She's the founder of Save the Animal, Save the World. She's been on show several times. She will be coming back. Barb, thank you for calling in. Call in any time and take that action, okay? Your voice matters.
Yeah,
your actions matter.
I took the Chief's website. I'll get on and donate, too.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you.
And
Chief Ken Ross Jr., thank you so much for coming on air this evening. It's been a great show. And I want to welcome you back again, okay? And I'll be in touch with you. And you keep up the great work. A big shout-out to SPCA, Putnam County, New York, okay? So,
thank you.
And a big shout-out to Meredith Aon. She was a former guest on there. She's the one that referred me to Chief Ken Ross, Jr. A big shout-out to her, and I'll be sending her a message. But anyway, thank you all for tuning in. And it's been another great show this evening. We're going to keep going because it's so important for us to all take action. Not just talk about it, but take action is the key.
Amen.
But next week the show's coming on 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, 4 o'clock Pacific. And listen in worldwide, everyone. And I guess next week I just got to get confirmed. But thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Chief Ken Ross Jr., for all you're doing, so heartwarming and uplifting and inspiring. And you're awesome. I give you a standing ovation. And be safe out there. And keep up the great work you're doing, because that's what matters. You know, and everyone, you know, hey, and you see a police officer or somebody that's helping us out, say thank you to them. Let them know, because so many people are trying to turn everybody against them, and it's not right. But thank you so much. A big shout out to my mother, Pat, a.k.a. Moose.
Thank you,
Moose, for, listening and your support. Love you to death. Dave Thomas, thank you for listening this evening, all your support. Thank you, everyone, and have a nice and peaceful evening, and may God bless you all. Paul in hand, united we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land.
Right.
Good night, everyone. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night, and
good
thank
night,
you.
God. Good night, Chief. Bye.
Good night.
Right. Have a good one. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you. Stay in the way, kid, Rob.